Welcome to the Self-Defined Human Podcast. This is your host, Michael Corman. I'm going to talk about food. I'm going to talk about eating. I love eating. But you know, in our society, you're taught that eating is not something you should be doing. Okay, because you got to look a certain way, you have to feel a certain way, you got to make sure that you're not doing the wrong thing to yourself. You got to make sure. And that's just, to me, no. I'm just going to say it, no. I reject it. But I wasn't always that way. I used to buy into that a lot more than I do now. It used to be like when I was in college, it was like, I was like, I'm just going to exercise for 2 weeks and I'm just going to just weigh less. I'm just going to be at a healthy weight. You know, I'm just going to one of these days, just, you know, 2 weeks, I'm just going to just really just sweat it out, sweat it up, work up a sweat. What's the expression? That's what I'm going to do. And it's going to be great. It's going to be perfect. But that never happened, you know? So what are you supposed to do about that? What are you supposed to do? What you supposed to do about that? There's nothing to say, nowhere to go, nowhere to be. You just have to do what you do, through and through. Eating. So you probably feel guilty. You feel guilty. You do feel guilty. I know you do. Don't lie to me. I know you feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You hate yourself. But Michael, don't tell me I hate myself. That's negative. Yep, it's negative. You think of yourself in a negative way. So what are you going to do about that? Now let me tell you why you think of yourself in a negative way. It's because you're taught to do that. Okay? Society has trained you to do this. You're taught it. It's not any mystery. It's not like, it's not a natural thing. You know, we're not born thinking badly of ourselves. We're taught to do that. It's deliberately inculcated in us. I wouldn't say it's deliberately inculcated, but it is systematically inculcated through inculcatory methods. And it's really hard to avoid it. How would you ever avoid it? You know, you go to school, you watch the TV, the movies, you look at the models, you go to the shopping mall, you go to wherever you're going. Where are you going? Wherever it is, you're seeing it all around you, everywhere. It's inevitable. It's everywhere. All of the imagery, all of the shame, it's these stories that are told by the culture, okay? They're all told in an effort to get you to comply, to get you to conform, to get you to play along, to play the game that everyone else is playing. That game of you need to work on yourself, you need to improve yourself. Because you're bad. So this is the jackal mindset from nonviolent communication, from Marshall Rosenberg. It's this idea, you're bad. You gotta make sure that you stop being bad. You don't wanna be the bad one. You wanna make sure that you're at least not as bad as everyone else around you. So you see, everyone around you has this vested interest in making sure that you feel ashamed, making sure that you hate yourself. It's subtle. It's not that people are going around saying that. They're not. They don't know. They're just doing it. It's like it's just this subconscious thing. I don't really like the word subconscious because it implies that this stuff isn't conscious, and it is conscious. It's just they might not know how to talk about it. They're just doing it. It's just there. It's just like, but it, you know, look, the behaviors that they have are conscious. But the patterns, like the larger patterns, they're part of the culture and they're deep and they're broad patterns. They're not obvious and they're not, you know, it's us as individuals, we don't know. We don't know anything. The memes are the ones in control. So they're running the show behind the scenes, pulling the strings. And they're going to make you, they're going to work to actively make you feel worse. Now, why is that? Why would it be that cultural memes want you to feel badly about yourself? Why do they care? Well, you got to keep in mind that memes are primarily interested in reproduction. They're interested in self-replication, propagation. They want to create more copies of themselves, okay? So like a meme is like a gene. This idea, it's like a virus that spreads through our minds. You know, we all want, like, as human beings, we want to be part of a culture. We want to be accepted by the group. And so the memes that we have are, that's all part of it. Like, they are constructed in such a way that they are things that are going to infect people's minds so that the people can feel part of the group. But the memes themselves, like, they don't care about you. All they want to do is propagate. And you don't really care about the memes, okay? And the people around you, your friends, don't really care. But they do care. They care about what the meme can do for them. So we all want to feel like we're right and that we're not wrong. That's a meme. That's what the thing is. That itself is a meme, okay? But there's a lot of other memes that are piggybacking on that. You know, why is it, you know, you've got like fashion. Fashion changes all the time. You know, you can wear one thing one year and then the next year you can't wear that anymore. It doesn't make sense. Like, the thing only exists so that you can point at certain people and say they're wrong and I'm right. So that you can feel like you belong to the group. It's not even that you're really trying to kick people out of the group. You probably don't really care that much, but you want to feel like you belong. But the only way you're going to belong is if other people get kicked out, you know, if other people don't belong. So you look good in comparison to them. So like, food gets all wrapped up in this. You know, you are, you know, we have to eat food. It's part of, it's just, you know, I don't need to say it. We have to eat food. It's not avoidable. You can't go through your life not eating food. Somehow or other, you know, maybe there's a way, maybe you can somehow inject it into you. You know, I don't know. There's probably ways of eating food that don't involve eating. But most of us are eating. Like, we take food, we put it in our mouths, and we chew it, and we swallow it. And that is how we get nutrition. And we have to do that, okay, to stay alive. But it's not really why we do it, because most of us, at least where I'm from, most of us are not starving to death, okay? So we're not like, we don't need the food. It's not like we've ever been in a situation psychologically where we needed the food, like where our body needed the food. And so like we don't really know what that is. So the point I'm making here is that the reason that we're eating is not to stay alive. We eat because food tastes good. So that's a thing. And food always tastes good. Like, it's not like you didn't learn that. You know, it's not like you were born not liking food, and then, I mean, maybe some things, you know, some people don't like certain foods, you know, there's acquired tastes, but food in general, like, you know, everybody likes food, and it doesn't matter, like, everybody likes food, okay? So you're not going to find people who don't like food. That's really not going to happen. You're going to like some food. So, like, that's and every animal, like, likes food, okay? It's not a cultural thing. So it's a very basic thing. But see, the memes are building on that. They're taking advantage of that. The fact that you like food, they're building on that. See, part of it is the fact that food is something that feels good to you. But there's this whole part of our culture that says that things that feel good are bad. You know, you gotta feel guilty. When you're partaking in sensual pleasures, you have to feel guilty about it. You have to feel guilty about the fact that you're enjoying your sensory experience. Well, that's convenient because we have to eat every day. I mean, no, we probably don't have to eat every day, but we eat every day. So every day, you know, if you have three meals a day plus snacks plus dessert, that's like 5, 6, 7 opportunities every day to make all the people ashamed, to make all the people hate themselves, and to whip them into compliance with the culture. So it's every day of your life. This is every day. It's like over and over and over and over and over again. This whole thing. It's just this whole story here, this whole spiel about how bad you are and how you better shape up. You were taught to hate yourself. This is where all the stress comes from. I mean, where else do you think it comes from? Maybe I'm overlooking. I'm just talking. Like, I don't know. There could be other things going on here. You know, so if you're saying, well, I'm stressed out because, you know, I can't ever stick to a diet. Well, you know, look, why would you think that you would be able to stick to a diet? Like, where does that idea come from? Like, that's the thing I don't really get it. I don't get why I'm playing dumb a little bit here because I've certainly done that myself. I've certainly myself gone through these phases where I've, you know, thought, well, surely I should just be able to just control what I eat. I just be able to make a decision about what I'm going to eat and just not eat the bad things and just eat the good things and just follow a plan. And you just go on the internet and you find all these plans and you sign up for things and they tell you what to do and you just, and they sound very reasonable and logical and I'm sure they're, you know, most of them are probably pretty good. I mean, you know, there's rationale behind them. Like, they didn't just make it up most of the time. But there's still this like very inconvenient psychological thing going on here, which is that you just, you know, food tastes really good and people feel really bad about themselves. So none of that really is conducive to this project of having a diet where you're gonna just be in control of what you're doing. You know, because first of all, you got two things going on there. Number one, and this, the easier one to understand, obviously, is the fact that food tastes really good. Okay, so if you have every single day, you have all this food in front of you, and by the way, in our culture, it's just nonstop. It's not like, you know, you imagine our ancestors out in the woods, they're just sitting there, you know, like, what do they have to eat? They have like twigs and berries. They've got like what, squirrels? I mean, what? Like moss? Some kind of like weird fungus that they might find growing under a log? Like, what are you gonna eat? Acorns? So in our culture today, that's not what it is. Obviously, we've got so many options, you know, and it's not terribly expensive. I mean, like, even if you don't have a lot of money, you can still, like, how much does it cost just to buy a Snickers bar? To buy, you know, you can get a bag of chips. You can get, I mean, anything you want. You know, you can get all the things that taste really good. It's not like, you know, you may say, well, certain foods are expensive. Yeah, certain foods are expensive, but the fact is that you can get food that tastes good. You don't have to pay a lot of money for food that tastes good. That food is not expensive. So you're kind of screwed there, you know? That's a force. That's working on you. It's operating on you at all times. You know, I go to the store and it's like I get ice cream and it's like I'm always shopping. I'm always looking for like the cheapest. And not just the cheap, I don't just mean like the cheapest quality, but I'm looking for something that's a really good deal. You know, and sometimes you can find things that are high quality but a really good deal. You know what really is pissing me off about ice cream these days is that, so it used to be that ice cream, at least in the United States, okay, I don't know how it is elsewhere, ice cream came in a pint. That was like the smallest size of ice cream. Which a pint is like 16 fluid ounces. But nowadays, see, like the higher end ice cream, some of them, what they're doing is they're going to 14 fluid ounces. I guess they're hoping that you're not gonna notice. It's not like they've lowered the price. So you gotta make sure, you gotta watch out for that, because the sizes are getting smaller somehow. They're trying to make it seem like it's really special. Well, you're not fooling me. I think that's ridiculous. When I notice that, it's just, no. I don't want that. If I want a pint, then I want a pint. The second issue here is beyond that food tastes good, right? You have this idea that people are ashamed, okay? People feel bad about themselves. You have this guilt, shame thing going on. So this is a problem because in terms of diets, okay? Because the thing is that it would be great. Okay, so there's like positive reinforcement, there's negative reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is when you do something and you get rewarded for the thing you're doing. Negative reinforcement is this is going to be symmetrical the way I said it there. Negative reinforcement is where when you do something, I take away something that's bad, something you don't like. Okay. So let me just, in terms of dieting, okay, when you're dieting, okay, when you make a decision, I'm gonna start changing what I eat so that I lose weight, okay? There's two ways you can look at this, okay? In terms of positive reinforcement, it would be like, well, every day that I do the diet, my weight goes down, and that's a reward. That's great. It's like every, you know, I look at the scale and I see a lower number. Fantastic. But you know, you look at it in terms of negative reinforcement, and it's like every day that I diet, I'm no longer feeling so guilty. Okay, so like there's a positive stimulus and a negative stimulus. Like, it's really worth paying attention to this, okay, and understanding this, because this goes over their heads. But if you want to understand how I look at things, like, you should understand this. You should also understand that positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement are just a matter of perspective. It's not a matter of, it's not like one of them, it's not like there is, it's not like, they're not true, okay? It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of how you're looking at. It's a matter of like how you're keeping track of the data. But the experiment itself, it's like the same. But there's a basic thing about human psychology, which is that we really hate bad things. And we will do, it's like we hate bad things more than we love good things. And I don't know if a good way to say this, because I'm trying to express a few complex ideas at once right now. We hate bad things, okay? Which means we will do anything to get rid of bad things, including strategies that aren't really effective and that aren't really in our long-term best interest. So, for example, when you are You know, if you've ever tried dieting, you'll notice that it's easy to do it for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. Okay, I think there's a number that they've arrived at. How many days is the average? Okay, it's probably something like 7 to 9 days or something like that. I don't remember. You have to look it up. But we do it for a certain number of days, and then what happens? You just stop. You forget about it, and the reason is. Because the reason is because the stimulus that was getting you to do the diet in the first place was your guilt. It was, or your panic, or your anxiety or something, your worry about something, about how you look or how you weigh, or, you know, something the doctor said to you, or something you saw, you know, something your friend said to you, or, you know, you can't fit in your clothing, or you have some, you know, you have event coming up and you want to look a certain way for that event. That's the stimulus that's motivating you to diet. Okay, and that's like this kind of this negative thing. It's this thing you want to get rid of. And so you start the diet, and what happens is that the moment you start dieting, you have a boost of confidence. Because now you're fighting that stimulus. And so it goes away. So you diet day one, day two, day three, couple weeks, and then what happens? It goes away because you've eradicated the stimulus. You don't feel guilty anymore. You don't feel like a fat slob anymore. So now you have no motivation to diet, and so you just let it fall away, and you're back where you started. And that's how it goes every time. Okay, because you're not hooking it up to something that is what they would call intrinsically motivating. Okay, the diet itself is not fun. It's not fun to deprive yourself of your favorite foods. It's only fun because it's like, I'm gonna be able to get rid of the shame. But that's like, you don't have to lose the weight to get rid of the shame. All you have to do is just start dieting, and the shame vanishes pretty quickly. So but that's not effective. Like, that's not long-term effective. I mean, it's just a start diet, and every few months, just start a diet for a few days. Like, that's not gonna do anything. But it will keep your shame at bay. At bay, it's not gonna eliminate it, because it'll keep resurfacing over and over, but it will keep it at bay. Meanwhile, you're not actually changing anything about how you're eating. And you're probably making it worse, because now it's like food is gonna taste really good now. And if you also have this habit of like, maybe you eat in order to make yourself feel better emotionally, then the more shame that you have, the more you're gonna eat. So every time that shame resurfaces, it's gonna trigger you to eat more. You know, so the shame is triggering you to diet. The diet makes the shame go away. Then you stop dieting, then the shame comes back, then you start eating. You know, you have to compensate for it. And then you start feeling ashamed, and then you start dieting. You know, so there's a cycle. You know, you gain weight, so then you start feeling ashamed, and so then you start dieting, etc. And so that's why you're doing it. If that's why you're dieting, so that you can stop feeling ashamed. Like, that's the issue here. You know, that's negative reinforcement, okay? So you're doing the thing so that you can get rid of something you don't like. That's not effective. That's not the most effective way. When you're trying to train, you know, anybody who knows, like, you know, if you train dogs or something, and I don't know anything about dog training, but talk to a dog trainer and see what they say. But psychologists know that the most effective way to train people, okay, and presumably rats and dogs, is through positive reinforcement, which is where you, rather than removing a negative stimulus, you add a positive stimulus. Meaning that every time you do the thing, you would get a reward for it. Okay, and that's going to keep your attention on the thing rather than just trying to avoid the stimulus. You see, there's a big difference there. So you have two choices. Either you're going to do the diet, you're going to be attracted to the diet, or you're going to be repelled away from the shame. The problem with repelling yourself away from the shame is that there's so many different ways to do it that don't have anything to do with eating better. Okay, there's so many different ways. You can eat worse and it will do it. You know, you just stuff your face with cake and then it's probably going to make you feel better. So that's like, that's backwards. So you got to find a way. So if you really want to do that, if you're determined, like, I'm going to do a diet and I'm going to get better at diet, you know, I'm going to change the way I eat for the better. What you would have to do, if you really wanted to do that, and I will tell you that I don't know really how to do this, okay? Because people are complex. For some people, that they might not be as complex in this area, and maybe it's easier for them. But let me just tell you, what you would have to do is you would have to find some reward for dieting that is better than that feels better to you than the taste of the food. So good luck. Good luck with that. Some people might not love food as much, you know? I love food. So, but now, this can be pessimistic, what I'm saying, because it's like, well, there's no chance. You're just going to have to just eat and eat and eat until you, you know, you just double in size and then, like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you just, like, take off. I don't know. I don't even remember what happened. Get stuck in chocolate, whatever. Okay, we're gonna wrap this up. I hope this is inspiring, and I hope that this encourages you to just stop freaking out so much about diets. And I'll continue this. We'll continue this. There's more to say here. So thanks for listening. Check me out on Instagram, no.michael.here. No Michael here. With dots in between all the words on Instagram, Instagram land. I will talk to you next time. This has been the Self-Defined Human Podcast. Michael Corman, your host.